dispensation, but it's referring to the great tribulation. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And we see, if you read the book of Daniel, that speaks about the end. 3.5 years he's talking about the tribulation. Daniel chapter 9 explains that. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, who shall read it, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this solemn passage. Watchmen were of the night, you remember? And he said, the morning cometh. And we spoke about that Sunday night. The morning is coming for the believer. But the night is coming for the unbeliever. Now, we made a statement. I want to just say a little more about that. And this is very, very important to understand the prophetic scriptures. I believe we must distinguish between Israel and the church. This is foundational. And the scripture I read, you'll notice, was very much an Israelite chapter. It speaks about Jerusalem, it speaks about Judea, it speaks about the Sabbath, and it speaks about these things that refer to Israel. Now, fifth of the Bible is taken up with Israel, and only one-fifth of the Bible with the church. And we need to distinguish about these two. Israel were an earthly people and with earthly promises. The church, the assembly of God, the heavenly people, and all promises are spiritual. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. We're heavenly people. Let's not get earthbound and think that because we're doing well down here, God is blessing us. Not necessarily. He blesses people, too, that are having very hard times. The headship of Israel was Abraham. He was the founder. But our head is the Lord Jesus in heaven. Israel was one nation. The church is taken out of all nations. Jew and Gentile, all alike, are baptized by the Spirit into the one body. God, in dealing with Israel, he dealt with them individually, but also nationally. But with us as the believers, he dealt with each one of us individually. That's how we're saved. The only way you can save is individually. Now, the Israel was seen in all ages from Abraham. But the church is only seen in this present age, in this dispensation of grace, this great progressive age, that is the only time you see the church. Christ is the Messiah, the King of Israel, but he's the head of the church. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's in a different relationship. In the Old Testament, in Israel, the Holy Spirit came upon the people. You remember, he came upon Saul, he came upon David, he came upon some of the prophets. But in the New Testament, he comes to dwell in us. That's the dispensation of grace. Israel had a priesthood. The church is a priesthood. We are priesthood of believers. It's a tremendous privilege, isn't it? So you see the difference between the church and Israel. Israel was under a system of law. We're not. We're under grace. It's grace all the way. Israel was seen as servants. We are seen as members of the family. We're the family of God, born into the family. We call them our Heavenly Father. Israel was the wife of Jehovah. We are the church of Christ, or we're the bride of Christ. The most intimate relationship that can be enjoyed. So it's nice to see some of these things. Now, Israel is going to face judgment in the coming day, particularly in the Great Tribulation. But our judgment is all past. Our blessed Lord took all the judgment that we are worthy of. Now, tonight, I want to speak a little to you about this period. The tribulation starts what we call the day of the Lord. It's the beginning of the day of the Lord. But many, many events take part in the day of the Lord, but this is the first event of the day of the Lord. After the church is taken home to heaven, then the prophetic clock will start again. Then we'll start the 70th week of Daniel. And it's called Jacob's Day of Trouble. Now, if you want to turn to some scriptures in the Old Testament, I don't know if you want to keep up or not, but I want to give you a few to tell us the character of this Day of the Lord, which starts with the tribulation. It's called the time of wrath. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 15, we read this, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. You know, we're not living in a day like that now. Some people think we're going through the tribulation now. Well, God's people, they that will live godly shall suffer persecution. And we will have, in this world, you shall have tribulation to the Lord Jesus. But this is not the great tribulation. This period we're speaking now is the day of the Lord is going to be a terrible time. And oh, I tell you, those of us that are saved, we can be so thankful we'll not be in that. And we're going to show that we won't be going into the tribulation. And then in verse 18 of the same chapter, Zephaniah chapter 1, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. For the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. In Revelation 6:16, we read about the tribulation. There it says, and they said to the mountain, those people that are not saved, and the rock fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, the day of wrath. It's going to be a fearful day. No wonder the Lord said it in the scripture where there's never been a day like it before nor after. People have no idea how terrible it's going to be. If people only believe the Bible and realize what's coming on this world, they'd be rushing to Christians to find out how to get saved. They really would. Then it's also called the Day of Judgment. If you turn to the book of Revelation, in chapter 14, in verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. The day of judgment. Again in chapter 15 and verse 4, the last part, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. In chapter 16, and we read more about it in the last part of verse 7, true and righteous are thy judgments. In chapter 19 and verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he had judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth. It's the day of judgment. The tribulation. In Isaiah 26 and 20 and 21, it speaks about it as the day of his indignation, when God is angry and indignant. It speaks about his fierce wrath and his indignation. Same thing in Isaiah 34. Revelation says it's an hour of trial, an hour of temptation. He said to the church then in Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my peace, and I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation. Israel is going to be tested and tried. Tells us there'll be an hour of great tribulation. Jeremiah 30 verse 7, a very important verse about Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble, Jacob's trouble. We need to distinguish about that very, very clearly. Daniel 12 verse 1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, nor of that Israel, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Look after them. So you see, the tribulation was forecast in the Old Testament, in many, many scriptures, it's been foretold as an awful, awful time of wrath, of judgment, indignation, trouble and trial, a time too of destruction. 1 Thessalonians 5 points that out, verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction, an awful hour coming. Little prophecy of Joel chapter 1 verse 15 says, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Fearful time coming for this whole world. Now you remember we read too, there's going to be a time of waste, desolation, darkness, gloominess. And Joel again, the little book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 2, and a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, going to be an awful time. People have no idea of the awfulness. Amos speaks about it too. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you, the day of the Lord is darkness. Darkness. Darkness that's going to be able to be felt. Daniel in chapter 9, verse 27, it speaks about desolation. Desolation. It's an overturning. I'll overturn, I'll overturn. In Isaiah 24. So you see, this is the, what is this? It's going to be an awful time. Now, who's the source of the tribulation? God is. God is the source of the tribulation. He's going to deal with Israel. He's going to deal with the nations. He's the source of it. He uses Satan, And he uses the beast and he uses the false prophet. He'll use them, but God himself is behind maneuvering it all. He's in control. And it tells us that in various scriptures that God is the source of it. If you turn again to Zephaniah chapter 1, I know some of these little books are hard to quickly turn to. In verse 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. It's the Lord's wrath. And you'll find scripture after scripture telling us it's the Lord's wrath. In Isaiah 24 verse 1, again it speaks about it's the Lord that's going to send his wrath. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. It's the Lord that's going to visit Israel and the nations during the tribulation. He's going to prepare Israel to receive their Messiah. And he's going to punish and judge the nation. That's what he's going to do. He's not dealing with a church, whatever. Now we know in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, he uses the beast to punish and to persecute Israel. Verse 13 of chapter 12 of Revelation, and when the dragon saw that he was cast out onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's Israel. God used Satan to persecute Israel. But God is still allowing and arranging this week and day of wrath. Sometimes we forget that God is not in control. He's in control of the tribulation too. And in chapter 13, you'll see how he uses the beast that came out of the sea, and verse 7, and it will be given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And then later down in the chapter, he uses the false prophet, verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now God is behind the scenes and he's allowing this because sin is always going to be punished and dealt with. Now the day of the Lord has many, many events. And I'll just quickly list them. We're going to speak a few of them during while we're here. It starts with the tribulation. Then you know there'll be formation of the revival of the Roman Empire. There'll be this rise of this political leader we read about in Revelation 13. There'll be pouring out of the judgment of the seals, and I believe somewhere early in the tribulation, this is my own thought, we have no definite scripture for it, but I believe that's when that Russia will be dealt with. Russia will come down and God will deal with Russia after they have made that peace treaty. You remember this Roman leader, he'll make a treaty with them, and it says in Daniel 9:27. But in the middle of it, he'll break it. But Russia's going to come down to a place of unwalled cities, it says, without protection. That, I believe, at the beginning of the tribulation, this prince, the Roman prince, will make a covenant with them, and they'll feel safe. And Russia will use that opportunity. And Lord willing, one of these nights we'll speak about that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where we see what God does with Russia. The one that clenched their hands against God and they said, we'll search him up wherever he is and we'll bring him down, they said, the Russians said. But he's going to show them. For God says in Ezekiel, I'm against thee. I say it's a terrible thing when God's against somebody. That's what he says about Russia. These are all part of the day of the Lord. It'll be the sealing of the 144,000. It'll be the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom throughout those years of the tribulation. And multitudes will be saved through their testimony. There'll be the seven trumpet judgments. There'll be the seven bowl judgments. All this is going to take part as part of the day of the Lord. The rising up of the false religious system and its overthrow in Revelation 17 and 18. All these are part of the day of the Lord. Armageddon. And then the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. The destruction of the beast and his armies. The judgment on the nations. The regathering of Israel. Judgment of Israel. And restoration of Israel. The binding of Satan. It includes the whole millennial age. Then the final revolt. As you read in the book of Revelation. The great white throne. And finally the purging, the one that will be a new heaven, new earth. All these are events that comes under the day of the Lord. And the tribulation is the beginning of the day of the Lord. Now the point is, will the church go through the tribulation? What do you better think? I don't believe so either. I don't believe the church will ever go through the tribulation. In no way will the church ever have to go through that terrible time, the time of Jacob's trouble. I had my notes on and I can't find them. That's not a terrible thing when a preacher loses his notes he's copied down. Because there's a lot of reasons. I can give you many without them, but I like to give them in the orderly fashion that I have them down in. That's a real embarrassment here. Right? Yes, oh yes, I know, Brother. And I thank you. But I had a whole list of things that I've marked down, and one of them is that. And I can't understand that. What happened to those notes that I made? Let me say this too, that in Matthew chapter 24, you'll notice there that the time of the tribulation, it speaks about in verse 16, about the abomination spoken of by Daniel. Whoso read, let them understand, and let them which be in Judea. It uses Jewish terms. It refers to Daniel, who speaks about his people. It's not referring to the church, whatever. When you read the book of Revelation, you find the church, I believe, in pictures raptured in chapter 4. And then from chapter 6 right through to chapter 19, there's no mention whatever of the church. See, the Lord is not dealing with the church during the tribulation. We're not appointed to wrath, he says in 1 Thessalonians, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have not been called to do that. God is dealing with Israel during that time, but he's not dealing with the church, because the church is taken home to heaven. Remember, John, just turn to Revelation there in chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And then if you read chapter 5, you see them all worshiping the Lord in heaven. But then as you go into chapter 6, then you get the judgment upon Israel and upon the nation, but not upon the church. The church is not mentioned once in all those chapters, chapter 6 to chapter 19. She need not be. I believe also at that same time the reason is Christ come for us, and we're going to be the maid supper of the Lamb. We're going to be the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be up there in heaven. And while the tribulation goes on down there, we'll be up there with him, standing before him, and also at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. So we'll not be down here upon earth. We'll be up there with the Lord Jesus himself. And that's a great prospect, you know. We're not going to be down here, whatever. The church will not be upon this thing at all. Because the purpose of the tribulation is to deal with Israel, to discipline her and correct her and to make her want her Messiah. And it's also to deal with the Gentile nations. The church is the heavenly people with heavenly blessings. And it would just be out of keeping to put her through the tribulation. And some people think we should go through the tribulation, but there's no point in whatever. Christ has dealt with all sin completely. Sin will be dealt with during the tribulation in connection with Israel, but the church's sin has all been dealt with on the place called Calvary. So it's absolutely not in keeping whatever with the Word of God. Well, thank the Lord. I just saw my notes here on it, so I can try to put them down. I don't know whether it disappeared, so it just seemed like a miracle. Here they are. So I'll give you some of the things I marked down. First, it's not called the church's trouble, it's called Jacob's trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, for there's none like it. It's even the time of Jacob's trouble. It uses language, as we pointed out, from Matthew 24, that's only in keeping with Israel. The church, we're all, from all nations, baptized by the Spirit into one body. And we're distinct people, a heavenly people. Then the middle wall of partition wouldn't be broken down, because if he dealt with us the same as with Israel, we're a distinct body, and the wall is a partition broken down. There's no partition now between us and them. And in 1 Corinthians 15:51, it's called the mystery about the church and its resurrection. Behold, I show you a mystery, which are not all sleep. Well, this is something that was known in the Old Testament. You'll find different mysteries in the New Testament. The mystery of the body. The Jew and Gentile being one body, you'll miss the mystery, the great mystery of Christ and the church and the bride. The mystery of iniquity. You find different mysteries. These were things that was not known in the Old Testament. And so it is with the church. It is a mystery. The tribulation was no mystery. It's all through the Old Testament. Scripture upon scripture tells us about the tribulation. Just turn with me, please, to Isaiah 13, just to give you an example. Isaiah 16. See, you have nothing like this about the church in the Old Testament, but you have it about the day of the Lord, you have it about the tribulation, all these truths in relationship to Israel. The Old Testament is full of them. Isaiah chapter 13. And we'll start at verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all the hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellation thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. That's like reading the book of Revelation, isn't it? And the moon shall not cause the light to shine. And I'll punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. You notice God dealing with the nations and with Israel. But there's nothing about the church. in this time. It's a mystery, just something that's been revealed in the New Testament, revealed to the Apostle Paul by his Holy Spirit. Another wonderful scripture in this connection, if you turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, about the Holy Spirit. We don't believe the man of sin can come till he, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. And while the church is in the world, the Holy Spirit is here. You know, the world doesn't realize how much they owe to the church. The church are here as messengers of peace, and messengers with an eternal message of forgiveness and a wonderful good news. The world has no, a lot of times the world, they just hate the church. They like to get rid of the church. But if they only knew what a blessing the church is here upon earth. But I tell you, when the church is removed, there's going to be something else. All hell will break loose. It really will. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8, we'll go back a little more, we'll go back to verse 6, and now you know what, verse 5, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, I believe all good Bible scholars agree that he that will be taken out of the way, it refers to the Holy Spirit in the church. And when that church is taken out of the way, taken home to heaven, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So you see, there's another reason why the church will not go through the tribulation, because the Holy Spirit is in the church, and when the church takes us home, he'll again be in the world in a different capacity. He won't be here, the resident person of the Godhead, as he is now. When he's taken out of the way, then that man of sin will be revealed. Furthermore, the rapture is presented as an immediate prospect. We look for the Lord from heaven, who shall change these bodies of humiliation. It's not so with the tribulation or the second coming in glory. He gives you what's going to happen in the tribulation. It tells you then immediately after the tribulation, then the Lord will come in power and great glory. It lines everything out. The signs and wonders we read in Isaiah, the moon and the sun would be darkened, the constellations, all that. All this in connection with the tribulation, but not with the rapture. Not with the church. We can be taken up without any signs whatever. Like Hale McKay says, we don't have to look for signs. You can't help looking at them, but we don't need them. We don't look for them. We look for our Lord from heaven. Wonderful prospect. And then, of course, the church must be at the marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ in order to come back with him when he comes. Remember, it says he'll come back, and we're going to come with him. When Christ shall appear, then we shall also appear with him. So the church has not been going through the tribulation. I think these are wonderful evidences. I might just say a couple of things about the purpose of the tribulation. In closing, I have 5 minutes. Now, we believe that purpose is to prepare Israel for her Messiah. They're going to cry out. And later on, they'll acknowledge him. When they see his wounds in the hands, they'll ask, where did you get those wounds? They're going to recognize their Messiah. And he's dealing with them in a tribulation. And they'll be prepared to receive the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 25, I just want to turn to that for a moment. God is going to deal with the nations. Another reason for the tribulation, when the Lord is going to deal with them at the end. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. That's what's going to happen. The nations are going to be dealt with him, the judge, the king, the one who rightly is to rule. He's going to judge the nations. And that's another purpose of the tribulation. He's going to bring those nations together. And finally, at the Battle of Armageddon, and he's going to judge them. He's going to have the last word. No one is going to be missed either when it comes to the final judgment later on at the great white throne. And then, of course, tribulation also reveals the program of Satan. And eventually, of course, Satan will be cast out. And then he knows his time is short, and then when he really persecutes the Israel. And finally, he's going to judge and punish sinners. Revelation 6:16 tells us about that. Maybe just turn to Revelation 16, verse 11 first. Verse 11, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And then chapter 6. That terrible verse there. Verse 15, to get the connection. The kings of the earth and great men and rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The purpose of the tribulation. Of course, in Revelation 17:18, his job there, purpose will be to judge that harlot, Babylon the Great. It's going to be an awful day, the day of tribulation. I'm so thankful tonight I'm saved. And friends, if you don't want your loved ones to go through this awful period, I believe that people who have heard the gospel like they have in Spanish well, they'll never have a chance to be saved in the tribulation. I believe they've had the day now. It's a day of grace. The time for people to be saved is now. And as our brother said, if we ever need a revival, right, it's now, not only in Spanish wells, but I see it everywhere. Hearts are cold, affluence, and so many things are getting in and stealing our love, that first love for Christ. And all we do need to be revived and be refreshed and be renewed so we have that new love for the Lord Jesus and a greater love for one another, a greater love for those that know thee not, when we see this terrible day approaching. Jesus is coming, and his coming is very soon. Let us be ready, up and doing. Watch for the night coming when no man can work, said the Lord Jesus. A terrible day. In the will of the Lord, Thursday night, we'll go on with the subject of prophecy and deal with the, possibly with the, one of the early events, I believe, in the tribulation, the destruction of Russia, the great king of the north. Several days ahead. One of these nights, too, we'd like to take up the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that has particularly to do with us and should have bearing upon our lives, how we live now. We'll think upon that. Let's just bound a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy holy word. It's so detailed, and yet there's so much in it, we just can't seem to take it all in. But we know one thing, that the day of the Lord, as it comes, beginning with the tribulation, is going to be an awful day of wrath and darkness, day of doom, destruction, the fearful day of judgment. Lord, we pray for a particular anyone here that's not saved, the Christians who have loved ones that are not saved. We might have a greater concern for them. We may seek to rescue the perishing while there's still time, before this awful day of wrath comes, when all thy true people be gathered home before this day of wrath. We thank thee thou hast not appointed us to wrath. Christ took it all, and he left us nothing but blessing. May we appreciate it so much more, so we will be willing to spread the good news and seek to rescue those that are not saved. Lord, give us the burden. Give us a concern. We thank thee that we have such a wonderful hope. But for those that are not saved, the night is coming. What an awful night of darkness, an awful night of hopelessness. May they get saved before this awful day comes upon this earth. We commend ourselves to thee now, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, friends, it's not easy to preach on such a subject, because it's a dark subject, it's a heavy subject, it's hard to be glad about it, isn't it?